Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we continue today with the urgent messages and prophecies that have come to us in our time through the intercession of the Mother of God. And we're speaking, of course, of the message of Bayside, which comes to us through the late seer, Veronica of the Cross. She was a prophet of our time whom the Almighty had raised up to champion his cause of restoring the Catholic Church back to its former glory. Because, unfortunately, the Church in our time has virtually been destroyed. Since the Second Vatican Council, we have seen the introduction of many new ideas and procedures that are foreign to the Church's ongoing tradition. That is to say, the Church today has been overrun by foreigners and strangers. Satan has entered the Church in our time, but he did this through the Council of Vatican II. Because the Council was infested with modernist progressives who were itching for something new, because they had grown tired of the Church's ongoing tradition, where they found it boring and unappealing, in the same way that an adulterous wife will grow bored with her husband and start looking for someone new. And that's exactly what the Church in our time has done. The spouse of Christ has become unruly. She's playing the field. She's flirting around with other religions and entertaining the world and bringing her worldly friends and ideas right into her father's house and basically having a party. And that's what they call their renewal since Vatican Council II. It's a new religion, which embraces a new ideal, where we cast aside rules, regulations, and penance, and we entertain a false sense of forgiveness and peace. Consistent with this is the manner in which they have basically dispensed with the Church's age-old teaching on purgatory. Granted, purgatory is still mentioned now and then in some churches, but it's done with a new light or emphasis, where they attempt to eliminate the element of suffering through the use of ambiguous language. For instance, they'll send off false signals by saying that purgatory is an act of God's mercy. And indeed, purgatory is a great act of mercy on the part of God, because without it, scarcely anyone could ever enter heaven, but that's not what they mean. What they're trying to tell you is that purgatory is a place of peace and forgiveness, where we've moved a step closer to the kingdom. It's just another phase of our pilgrimage to heaven, but we're not quite there yet. And again, this is a very ambiguous way of putting things, because with that kind of talk, people will come away thinking that purgatory is a new and elevated state where we have graduated upward and we have one foot in heaven. But the truth of the matter is that we've descended downward and we got one foot in hell. And in fact, we've got both feet in hell, because purgatory is actually a part of hell. As referenced in the Creed, he was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. This passage denotes Christ's descent into the belly of the earth for the 3 days following his crucifixion, when he went to deliver the souls that had been detained in purgatory, and also those in limbo. Before moving on with this discussion, it should be emphasized that the Church's age-old emphasis on purgatory has been correct, and should never be changed. The only change of emphasis that should be made is that this same emphasis should be emphasized with even more resolution. That is to say, the light of Christ's teachings on the subject need to be brought forth with even more clarity in order to offset the darkness of our age. And if you don't believe we're in darkness, just listen to the news. The FCC now wants to approve the use of the F word to be used on our radio and televisions and newspapers as an adjective. What's the world coming to? We'll tell you what it's coming to, the end. And Our Lady for 25 years had tried to warn us of this. She has sought to impress upon us the urgency that we be on our best behavior at all times, for we can be taken at any time, and unless we're living each day as if it were our last, we will not be ready to meet our Maker. In the short time allotted to us upon earth, it's important that we use the time to cleanse ourselves of all offense, so that we don't have to undergo this painful process of purification in the next life. And again, we're speaking of purgatory. As the Church infallibly teaches, there exists in the next life an infernal realm of banishment and sufferings for those that did not properly cleanse themselves upon earth. This infernal prison is what we call purgatory, meaning a purging place where we are purged or cleansed of our imperfections. Just for the record, purgatory is a middle place in the next world where we undergo the temporal punishment due for sins committed. Every sin ever committed has to be properly atoned for, and if we don't do it in this life through penance and confession, then we'll most certainly have to do it in the next life. As Jesus says right in the Gospel, we will not go out of that prison until we have paid the very last mite. That's from Luke 12:59. In the message of March 29, 1975, Our Lady tells Veronica, I quote, "There is a purgatory, a place of purging, my child, suffering great as in the abyss, but with the knowledge of a reprieve in time to come. It is a bleak longing of the spirit to look upon the Father. No, my child, this longing of the heart and the fires is of great magnitude, encompassing the being of the waiting soul." Now, as we understand, These souls in purgatory are completely helpless in that they cannot pray for themselves or plead their own cause in any way. The only atonement they can make is to endure this slow burn and undergo the fierce torment and longing in the fires of purgatory. But as the Church reminds us, the prayers of the faithful have great power to alleviate their sufferings, to shorten their stay in purgatory, and to even rescue them from this place of banishment so that they can finally enter into their eternal rest. Even a kind thought or memory offered for a departed soul will bring the balm to ease their pain and cool their burning. Our affections and good regards towards them all registers in the next life, and Our Lady has told us this. They feel it instantly. When you offer a prayer or an act of kindness for a departed relative or friend, it's like you're taking a hose and watering someone down when they're on fire. Hence, the souls in purgatory constantly beg and plead for your prayers and understanding. Our Lord agrees where He tells us, and where has your charity of heart gone now for your relations and friends passed on into purgatory? Were I to reveal to you how many are now chained by your lack of prayers in purgatory, would you be moved with pity for them if I could show you how they beg and thirst for you to release them? And that's our Lord speaking September 7, 1985. It is for reason that the people of God, even from the Old Testament, have always prayed for their dead. As it says in the Bible, I quote, "It is therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from sins." 2 Maccabeus 12:46. Again we read, quote, "A gift has grace in the sight of all the living, and restrain not grace from the dead." Ecclesiasticus 7:37. That is to say, do not withhold from them the grace of your prayers and sacrifices. Now purgatory, so that we understand, is a place for those who die in a state of grace, not for those that are damned through mortal sin. Basically, it has been designated for those departed Christians and people who were imperfect, lukewarm, and attached too much to the world, so that many of their works were not profitable toward their salvation. St. Paul explains a little more clearly in the 3rd chapter of 1 Corinthians, where he says that the fire of God will try every man's work. I quote where he says, "Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day of the Lord shall declare it, because it shall be revealed in fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide in Christ, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work burn, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 13 through 15. By fire we will be saved, says St. Paul. It is the fires of purgatory that will consume and burn these unprofitable works from our being in a very painful process, so that we indeed will suffer the loss of them, having been attached to these things, but in the same process, we will be separated from them and set at liberty, so that we can finally enter into our eternal reward. It's almost like getting your warts burnt off. And we need to have these burnt off, because even the slightest spot or imperfection on our soul after death will keep us from entering into the company of God in His kingdom. Some might argue, well, if that be the case, why doesn't God just give us a little anesthetic and remove these spots without any pain? The answer is because purgatory, in addition to being a cleansing, is also a punishment. And this cleansing after death will often entail a very severe, rigorous sentence in the fires of purgatory for a long many years. From the revelations of the saints, we learn that the souls in purgatory, if given a second chance, would gladly endure a lifetime of torment and fire upon earth rather than to spend 1 minute in purgatory. It is, in the truest sense of the word, pure hell. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the fires that burn the souls in purgatory is essentially the same fire that stokes the souls of the damned in hell. Revelation has it that there are souls who will be in purgatory until the end of time. Many are there because they neglected religion and chose to have a life of pleasure upon earth. According to our Blessed Lady, most people today that die wind up in either purgatory or hell. Moreover, Our Lady has said, quote, "Many who have entered into this purgatorial purging site have done so because of sins of the flesh." Perhaps the moral of the story is that if we choose to burn in our shame here upon earth, then we will receive burning as our portion in the next life. Because, as St. Paul said, the fire of God is waiting to try each of us when we pass over the veil, and if we provide any fuel for that fire to burn, any combustibles, then they most certainly will burn, and we will burn with them, because we allow these things to have part with us, our faults, and our defects that we never really confessed and got rid of on earth. So we have the time now to put off our bad habits and to start working out our salvation with fear and trembling, as St. Paul says in Philippians 3:12. And this is what we should be doing anyway. The knowledge of purgatory is essential to Catholic teaching because it represents what our baptismal calling is all about, namely that we sanctify ourselves. The process for our purification begins here on earth, not when we die. what we don't finish here on earth, then we have to complete over the veil. St. Augustine says, as some people do their purgatory on earth, while others do it in the next life, and still others, it's a little of each. However, the will of God is that we do our purgatory on earth and be imitators of Christ. The Apostle Peter tells us that by imitating Christ and suffering in the flesh, we, quote, cease from sins. 1 Peter 4:1. Suffering is the spiritual weed killer that kills the devil grass of our souls. Suffering or penance is the very thing that rubs out our sinful tendencies. The road to our sanctification is to simply endure the way of the cross and to sacrifice all for Christ. As St. Paul says, I suffer the loss of all things, and I count them as dung, that I may gain Christ. Philippians 3:8. Now we can understand why the martyrs go directly to heaven with no purgatory, because at the moment of death, when they're being martyred, they have that perfect love for God and that resolution to sacrifice all things, even their very life. There's nothing more that they could give up. Hence, being attached to nothing and belonging only to God, they go directly to Him. And that's exactly what will happen to us if we simply dedicate ourselves to this mission from heaven, and we try to bring this urgent message to the people and not give ourselves over to a world that's been given over to Satan. If we do this, and we do this faithfully, then we too will be able to make a beeline to the kingdom with no purgatory in between. So says Our Lady. You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, which is the one radio program designed to bring to you this urgent message of Jesus and Mary to the world, as given on the sacred grounds of Bayside, New York. And our president, Michael Mangan, was on the sacred grounds recently, and he interviewed another faithful and true soul, and so we're going to get his story now about how he has given up all for Christ.
Hello, David, and to all of our listeners. David, I am here at the Sunday Holy Hour for priests and for our Holy Father. We had the vigil in honor of St. Michael, our patron, last night. And actually, I was so busy, I didn't really have time to file a report because it was such a beautiful vigil, had a great crowd, and it was a nice night. But nonetheless, I says, I have to file a report in honor of our glorious patron, St. Michael. So here I am at the Sunday Holy Hour for Priests, and right now it is pouring rain out. As we've said so many times in the past, we just view this as holy water. So it doesn't bother us. Certainly any of the pilgrims that come here, they are hardy pilgrims. That's for sure. We're here 52 Sundays a year and 30 vigils a year at night outdoors. The vigils are three hours or more, and the holy hour is actually an hour and a half. So we're used to all types of weather. 20 below zero, 95 degrees above with 100% humidity. We've seen it all. Pouring rain, blizzard, snow drifts, a tornado touchdown just a few feet from us. This was a few years ago. So we really have seen it all, but always, of course, we've been protected by Jesus and Mary as we offer up our prayers and reparation. And David, it's my pleasure to have with me Francis Harrington of Burlington, Massachusetts. And good morning, Francis.
Good morning, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here at the Holy Hour. It's raining, of course, like you said, but you know, nothing can hold back coming to Our Lady's sacred grounds here and gaining the many graces given. And I take full advantage of these graces, especially in the times we're living in today. There's just confusion abounding, but when I come here, the graces and the strength I need to make it through the week, and it's essential I be here.
And that's interesting. You come here, it's almost like it is, at least for a short time, it is heaven on earth, and your problems and worries and confusion are dispelled. It is amazing. But Francis, we had a nice vigil last night, didn't we? Beautiful, a beautiful vigil.
So obviously reflecting the saint in which was honored, and that being St. Michael the Archangel, who... He's a glorious saint. I have great devotion to him. I know when I'm at work or at Mass, I'm constantly calling on St. Michael the Archangel. I'll say his long-form exorcism every day. And I just know that he is with me, you, and you know the mission. Obviously, you know, St. Michael's world apostolate. He is our leader.
Absolutely, Francis. And, of course, that's our name, St. Michael's World Apostolate. So this is a patron of all of our members, and of course in a special way for the lay order of St. Michael. It's amazing. Jesus has described St. Michael as the greatest warrior of heaven, and that is quite a compliment. Our Lady and our Lord, have named him the guardian of the faith and of the church. They have nicknamed him Golden Boy, and he really does have a tremendous role for these days. And if there's anyone that can protect us in these tough times, when Lucifer and all of hell is loosed upon earth, St. Michael will. Here it was, a member of the Archangel Choir who led the charge. I mean, he gathered the good angels with him to oust Lucifer and the evil ones. And we all know, and as we said so many times here, Lucifer, who was of superior intelligence after God himself. He was, I guess you would describe him as one of God or God's highest creation in terms of intelligence and beauty. Well, the problem is it apparently went to his head and he thought he was God. And then he gets the idea that I will not serve. I will be God. And St. Michael says, oh, yeah? And of course, we know that St. Michael means who is likened to God. And that was Michael's battle cry when he ousted Lucifer and his cohorts with the good angels. So we can take after this powerful archangel. And in fact, we must in these days, Francis. Do we not in these tough times?
Well, absolutely, Michael. He's an excellent example for us. And that's why, you know, I do my thing up in Massachusetts. You know, it's a quiet thing. I'm able to go door to door after work. As Our Lady says, go forward, knock upon the doors, spread the message. So, sure, I bet there's a couple of angels and, you know, saints from heaven fighting, trying to convert and enlighten these souls. So there's a spiritual battle going on.
Definitely, Francis. And certainly, Fran, you're an excellent example of a Latter-day disciple. Of course, by trade, you're a professional printer. You do a wonderful job. And in fact, you contribute a lot of your time on weekends helping us print. Or in fact, you have printed some of our material in your press shop with the blessing of your superior. God bless him, too. But you have donated a lot of your time and talent and expertise to the mission. In addition, as you said, you go door to door. You're here for our meetings. You bring your mother down. You're here frequently for the vigils and holy hours, of course. And I guess what I'm leading up to, Francis, you are single. What is motivating you to do all that work, to give all your free time up? I mean, God knows, you see the young people today in the world, and so many of them, unfortunately, are very worldly. They're in the bars, they're playing cards, going to Atlantic City, dancing, girls, and so forth and so on. And yet, you have donated so much of this time. You're so dedicated to the mission.
As you know, I've been coming since 1981. So, like Our Lady says, much grace is given, much is expected. This mission is so important to heaven. When you have Jesus and the Virgin Mary appearing right in our own country here and trying to save souls from hell, you know, it's an awesome grace and a blessing to be part of this mission and to know about it. So, you know, I'm very grateful, and I'll try to take advantage of every opportunity I can, whether it's going door-to-door, printing leaflets, or coming down here. Because as you know, Michael, unfortunately, the spiritual leaders of the Catholic Church, you know, they've gone astray. So heaven's trying to awaken all of us to do our little part to rescue our brothers and sisters.
In many ways, too, and I say this respectfully, we are doing the job of the priests, who unfortunately many of them have been negligent are derelict in duty. And that's what Our Lady has said in the message. And so we're spreading the message of Jesus and Mary to get your life in order, to get your act together, to observe the Ten Commandments, get in the state of grace, so you can avoid hell and purgatory. I mean, you don't hear those two words from the pulpit anymore. Purgatory and hell and sin. I mean, it's not that often that you hear from the pulpit the moral teachings of the church, certainly about abortion, homosexuality, pornography, Satanism, witchcraft, all of these evils of the day, and yet there's no instruction from the pulpit. So Our Lady's giving it in the message. And so it's up to you and me and all the good people to go forward and reach these other souls.
But I can't say enough Fifth having the grace to know about the apparitions here, where Jesus and the Virgin Mary have instructed us in these confusing times. You know, but materialism, the spiritual, who goes to church or is in tune with heaven and hell and purgatory, you know?
The treasures of our Catholic faith are really so beautiful, and that's what Our Lady's message has led all of us to unearth those treasures of our faith and really appreciate and develop our faith so it becomes very deep and intimate, a very deep and intimate relationship with Jesus and his mother.
And also, I can't say enough for St. Michael the Archangel, who's been a great protector for us. If you remember Michael, my sister had died in 1993. Well, my brother Jimmy had taken a miraculous photo here, and in the photo it shows St. Michael the Archangel.
Oh.
6 months later, taking my sister up out of purgatory to heaven. So it's just, you know, St. Michael the Archangel is an awesome saint, and he's very powerful, and we desperately need his protection. So, and I can't say enough about the example Veronica Lucan has left us. I mean, with all her sufferings and her perseverance of 25 years, it's just amazing what she went through from the attacks from the church, from demons in general, from the occult, and just from the hate letters she received. It's just amazing what she went through, and I think we can all use that as an example.
Absolutely, Francis, and certainly if anyone had the spirit of St. Michael and the courage of their convictions, it was Veronica. And it's interesting, as we celebrate the Feast of St. Michael, he is playing an integral role in these latter days, Francis. And in fact, we read in Daniel that it was prophesied that this day would come where St. Michael the Archangel would come forward to the rescue for all of God's children. And I'm reading Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. But at that time shall Michael rise up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people. And a time shall come such as never was from the time that nations began, even until that time. Well, certainly, this is unique times. All of hell is loosed upon earth. We can see that, really, in just in all of the murders, the mayhem, the wars, the chaos, the bloodshed. You see all of the markings and all of the clues that the evil one has left behind in his wake. And so that's all the more reason why we do need St. Michael's protection. We urge all of our listeners to be sure that you have some type of image of St. Michael upon you for your security and peace. It could be a medal of St. Michael. It could be a brown scapular with the image of St. Michael on it. It could be the St. Michael statue that we have in our car here, little statue. Some image in your home, upon your person. Very important that you have this powerful archangel on your side. And interestingly, too, Veronica received Holy Communion from St. Michael in 1979, as I recall. And it's St. Michael, after Our Lady crushes the head of Lucifer with her heel, it will be St. Michael that will chain him and bind him. For, as Our Lady said, a number of years, he will not be allowed to roam the earth anymore, and there will be true peace on earth, heaven on earth, for a long time. So we're honored to have him as our patron, St. Michael's World Apostolate. Of course, Our Lady has designated the full-time staff as the Lay Order of St. Michael, and it is a group of young men that live celibate lives that are dedicated to spreading this message of Our Lady and Our Lord to the entire world. This is our full-time job. It's 24/7. And, of course, we're very busy with our website and our national radio program, with our mailings, with our prayer vigils and holy hours, our correspondence, our travel, our meetings, and so forth. So it is very rewarding to be able to do this for Jesus and Mary. And we live the life of a priest, or a religious, if you will. We go to daily Mass. We pray the 15-decade rosary every day. We at least do 1 hour a week in adoration. We do the Stations of the Cross. We have, as I said, the Holy Hour Vigil here on the sacred grounds. We have our Bible nights during the week. So it is very rewarding and fulfilling. And in fact, if there's any other young men out there that might be interested in joining us or trying it out, we encourage you to write or call us, and we'll certainly receive you. So please let us know if there's any young men out there that would like to join us or be interested in learning more about it. Let us know. But it is from the lay order of St. Michael. Jesus and Mary have said that the order of St. Michael, the glorious order of St. Michael, will come forward with priests, religious, and brothers. And the order of St. Michael will be running the refuge right before the chastisement. And Jesus is coming, Francis.
Well, what a glorious day that'll be when the church pronounces, you know, the approval of these apparitions and the order of St. Michael is established. You know, that'd be a huge, significant role in drawing even more souls to heaven. So, in the meantime, I guess we have to carry our cross and just go, like you said, Michael, through our Lord's crucifixion before those glorious days.
Right, and we go forward with St. Michael. As Jesus said on October 1st, 1977, quote, "You will proceed onward, my children, under the banner of faithful and true, guided by the great warrior of heaven, St. Michael the Archangel." Well, thank you very much, Francis. And any final comments for our listeners?
Well, again, everybody, keep your sacramentals about you. Stay close to the Virgin Mary and Jesus. And obviously call upon St. Michael all the time. And because it's tough enough in these times between the confusion in the church, the wars, the rumors of wars, the economy. Again, just stay close to the Virgin Mary, you know, Our Lady of the Roses, Mary, Help of Mothers.
Oh, thank you, Francis. And just one aside that Fran just brought up, you alluded to the problems in the church, and that's what Our Lady and Our Lord said, that when they removed the restraining force, St. Michael the Archangel and the prayer that we used to say at the end of the low mass, that was a major problem, because you remove St. Michael and then the demons have free roam. So free reign, and I guess free roam too. free roaming. So in any event, we pray that St. Michael is brought back. We thank you for his powerful intercession. St. Michael, happy feast day to you and to all the angels, and keep protecting us. God bless you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you, Francis, for your inspiring commentary. And indeed, old Lucifer now has free reign in Rome. As Our Lady has said many times, Antichrist is now ruling and reigning within the Eternal City. And of course, this is no reflection of our good Holy Father, but rather reflects the reign of disobedience that now surrounds him, as prophesied by Our Lady in La Salette when she said, "Rome will lose the faith and become the seat of Antichrist." We'll pick up on this again, but right now we would invite you to write for the free information. You can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361, our toll-free line, 1-800-345-MARY, or you can visit us at www.smwa.org. That mailing address again for all the information, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. And we'll be back next week with more on this urgent message from Jesus and Mary. Until then, may Our Lady bless you. Unicare, 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 unicare.